Well, here we are in episode 3, and I finally had a chance to sit down with Rod and Glenn. Had a great conversation with them, and I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions about the ISCPO, drop me a line, byron.smith@iscpo.org, or just shoot me a basic email at info@iscpo.org. Hope you enjoy the podcast. All right. Hey, everybody. So this is Byron with the ISCPO 360 Security Podcast. I've got Rod and Glenn here with me to chat about the evolution of the organization. We're just hours away from our conference starting tomorrow, actually. And so we've got a nice group of folks coming in and looking forward to that with some solution providers that I talked about on our last podcast, and excited for those folks to come in and help us, you know, understand new solutions and new, you know, innovations that might help our members and our attendees. But let's talk about the ISCPO. Let's talk about the, you know, the creation and those kind of things. But before we do that, I want to go ahead and let you guys maybe introduce yourself. Glenn, how about?
Sure. Glenn Master, been in the loss prevention security field for a little over 20 years. Like most of us, started out with every intention of becoming a police officer, and that ultimately, or fortunately, did not work out, and found a career in the private sector, and mainly have been dealing with supply chain and logistics, and essentially kind of riding the coattails of the industry, especially as e-commerce has started to grow. A couple employers back, I was with Office Depot and was very fortunate to help create from the ground floor their loss prevention program in the late 90s as their e-commerce business was growing. And at that time, e-commerce was just business to business. There was no business to consumer. And obviously, with the growth of laptops and cell phones, every consumer on the planet now seems to be ordering online and kind of have ridden that wave.
Everybody's a business owner now, right?
I mean, absolutely.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
So, and you're right. The use of the mobile device, I mean, before you had to sit at your desk to place the order, sometimes had the catalog in front of you just to make sure you're ordering the right stuff. I mean, maybe we're dating ourselves here, so maybe we need to go out. All right. How about Rod? Go ahead.
Been around the industry a long time, and actually met Glenn. We didn't meet when we were both in the Navy at the same time, but we met 20-plus years ago, I guess. I was at the manager of corporate security for XL Logistics, and you were at Howard Schein?
No.
Motorola.
Motorola,
that's
right. In fact, that was my first gig right out of college was Motorola.
Right. And you were there with Corey and that gang, and we used to do some crazy stuff out there back in the days when we didn't have the technology we have today. We are dating ourselves. Was director of loss prevention at Blockbuster and been at a number of other companies where I got known as a fixer within the industry. So people had problems, supply chain and other issues, and I'd get the call, and away we went. And so now I'm actually a provider to the industry in that we support a multitude of companies in their supply chain and other endeavors, whether it be investigations or whatever. So Glenn and I have been working this together for a long time.
25 years, I think.
Is it 25 20, years?
25 years.
25 years. So, yeah, it's a long time.
So when you think about back in the day, surveillance, that really mean you in your car, right? I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember setting up a lot of times at DCs.
I remember literally sitting in a pallet inside of a box on the fourth level rack in a distribution center waiting for someone to steal Louis Vuitton bags when I was at Neiman Marcus.
With a hole cut in the box?
With a hole cut in the box, yeah. And, I remember those days. And today we have technology that allows us to do that where we don't have to go through that problem.
Well, what's kind of insane we're kind of reminiscing, Rod and I originally met, and essentially, this was my first gig out of the Navy and out of college, so I think I was 26, 27 years old, and we met at a group that was formed called the Alliance Security Group in Fort Worth. And for anybody who's listening who's been to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 20 years ago, north of Fort Worth, as the crow flies, it was nothing but thousands of acres of cattle pastures. And Ross Perot Jr. Saw a vision and essentially purchased all those cattle ranches. And if you look at it now, It's nothing but hundreds upon hundreds of distribution centers, with the center being Alliance Airport and FedEx having one of their main central hubs in the country out of there. So that entire area has grown. BNSF Railroad has a main intermodal hub right next to that area, so it's really unrecognizable for what we remember 25 years ago.
Absolutely. I remember actually being the one to help start that group because there was nothing dedicated out there. We didn't have any group that we could call upon, and when you started talking about specializing within logistics and supply chain, you were talking a crazy language. And out of that, now you have a whole different group that's out there today. But yeah, that was a long time ago, and we chased some pretty serious crooks those days, and put a bunch of people in prison in those days. But
some
good old days.
Some of the same battles too, right?
Absolutely, and just with different technology.
Yeah. So let's talk about the ISCPO. I mean, looking back, how did it all begin? What was the vision for this organization?
I've been a huge proponent of networking my entire career. Always wanting to expand my network so you could pick up the phone with one of your peers, either through law enforcement or through the private sector, and be able to, get somebody that you know on the phone to be able to get something done. So, dating back, spending 12 years at Office Depot, as I mentioned, Office Depot was really the first retailer to have its own loss prevention organization, specifically just for the e-commerce or supply chain distribution business. And from a retail standpoint in the U.S., most retailing loss prevention groups will either attend every year National Retail Federation, NRF, or RILA. And what I found is those are great organizations, great speakers, but if you had a niche or a specialization in supply chain or e-commerce, it was a rarity anybody ever talked about that. And as I moved on from Office Depot and had the opportunity to go to work for a private company called Nugistics, where I again was creating a loss prevention program from the ground floor, this time as a department head, I came to realize there were not a lot of resources out there with either domestic or global trade organizations that really talked about supply chain logistics. So had this crazy idea that from a networking platform, if you look at how distribution supply chain is growing, why not bring together loss prevention and security professionals across multitudes of industries, whether it be the airlines, retail, technology, pharmaceutical, whatever have you. The common denominator is everybody uses the global supply chain in some form or fashion. I thought, what a great idea to be able to create our own trade organization, so to speak, so all these folks could network. So called Rod and asked him, or basically said, hey, I've got an idea. And the first thing out of his mouth was, how much work is this going to cost me? and ran this idea, and he loved it. And
oh, I did.
And we kind of ran with it and pulled together kind of an advisory group. And, before you go off on this endeavor, you don't know what to expect, right? Yeah. And essentially, it's like forming a company. So we threw out a LinkedIn group just to kind of gauge where the interest was. And I think in 6 months, we had like 200 or 300 people from 13 countries sign up.
Right.
And then we knew we were onto something.
Yeah, but reality of it is, and I'm going to share a little different perspective on that. Because he called me, but what he called me on was say, hey, logistics needs some work done, specifically some security vulnerability assessments done at some locations in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so we fly up to Indy to take a look at these facilities so I could evaluate them and assess them and do that whole process. And keep in mind that summer that we were up there, it was 100 plus degrees and had been for months. We hadn't seen rain. We didn't even know what rain looked like anymore. And we get up to Indy, we're done at the end of the day, and we're going to go eat. We're going to go to Olive Garden. And I'm sure I'll never forget it. And it starts pouring down rain. And we're like, great, it's rain. Let's just stand out here and enjoy this if we can.
Because we hadn't seen rain in two months.
So we went inside the restaurant, and we sit down to eat, and he says, I've got this idea I want to share with you. Now, I've known Glenn for all these years, and I knew right then I should have run. Okay, and even as a very close friend, and as partners, over all these years, I should have run. And I didn't. I sat there and said, okay, what's he got going up his sleeve this time? And he began to share with me some of the ideas and some of his vision for what we wanted to do. And we talked about some key areas. You know, we talked about conference being just a significant part of what we needed to bring to the table for the industry, not just for the people that were in the industry that when we started this thing, but for the future players that were going to pick this industry and this part of our profession as what they were going to do intentionally for their life goals, if you will. And we talked about that. We talked about the importance of networking within our industry and some of the other key elements. We said, okay, we're going to toss X, Y, and Z to the side for now and really focus on three or four main areas. And with that, you're right. We started talking about who to bring to the table. And quite frankly, your name, Byron, came to the table that first night. I can't remember what capacity. Maybe you can remember. But I remember his name came to the table.
All I know is after about an hour in my eggplant parmesan, I got tired of listening to Rod talk because I just wanted him to say yes. So I already was like four glasses deep into red wine.
In your red wine. And we literally drew this thing off. Because neither of us went in a restaurant with anything prepared to do something.
On a napkin.
And we literally had sets of napkins and a blue pen. And we literally drew this sucker off that night with an outline and objectives and some goals. And I remember I got back to the hotel that night. I topped it all up. And we started cutting on it the next day. And within weeks, we had some people we talked to. Within months, we were already in front of a number of people to talk about it. And then it was a matter of all the legal aspects. You know, how do we do the taxation? How do we do the LLC? How do we do the blah, 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 blah? And that took us, what, a year and a half?
Going into this, you have no idea. You hear about 501Cs and not-for-profits. And you don't think much about it, but the reality of it is starting a trade organization is a huge endeavor. It is literally starting a business from the ground floor, and we made a lot of mistakes at first. But once we got the right help, we got the right legal guidance, we pulled it all together. But, yeah, it took us about, I think, a year and a half.
Yeah. And Byron, you became pretty essential to that as we move forward. And I think between the three of us and the other people we've brought into play, it's been a really good team. And I think that really sets the pace for what happens from now and into the future with the organization.
Yeah, I remember the day we had to go down to the City Hall.
Oh, in South Lake.
South Lake, Texas City Hall to file the paperwork with the state.
Yes.
Sign some documents. What am I signing here? Am I liable? And
Byron, just sign. Just sign. Don't worry about it. Just sign, Byron.
Good thing we got directors and officers insurance, so we're good. So yeah, the cocktail and napkin and a few drinks and kind of landed on that. And so what was the evolution of the name?
You know, we knew supply chain had to be involved, and I was very, you know, I wouldn't waver from the fact that we needed to have an international component to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it took us a while. I think even after almost 5 years now, we finally are seeing, especially as e-commerce is growing globally, we're finally seeing that international component come together. But I really felt when you're talking about the global supply chain, it essentially is a worldwide endeavor, and it incorporates, incorporates companies from different business aspects all around the world. So I wanted to make sure that we touched a lot of different bodies from a global standpoint.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure we had a name that no one else could grab the initials and use them anywhere in their existing name from a website or an Instagram site or any of the other social media platforms that we would need. And so as a result of that, there were several really great names that we had to toss because we just couldn't get what we needed. And then we came across this, and every place we ran it, there we had it. The ISCPO, whether it be .com, .net, .org, it just wasn't there. And so when we found that, it was like, okay, this is it. And from that, then it was a matter of really establishing the brand and then trying to build and grow that brand, which is what we've been working on for the last few years. And I think now it's beginning to really take and people understanding what it is.
Yeah, we've had some really good partners along with the LP Magazine and the D&D Daily helping us communicate to the, you know, to that loss prevention community. But I think you're right, Glenn. When you talk about, you know, the LP world is not quite as segregated as we would like to see more professionals in the supply chain side versus retail. They got maybe both stacked on top of each other and how to focus on that. Yeah, it's been a crazy ride. Grassroots has been our mainstay for a while, right?
Absolutely, and you know it's funny with these trade organizations because as you get involved in this, you learn that people have a tendency to be a little bit territorial. whether they specialize in retail or the trucking community. And you know, one of the things that I've always wanted to do is have an open platform. There's room for everybody in this organization. And I mean, I really cannot stress that enough, that, you know, we are not going to pigeonhole ourselves into a corner just from a specialization standpoint. You know, one of the things that we're focusing on this year is the evolution of e-commerce, because, again, it touches so many different entities. But, you know, anybody who's listening who may specialize in retail loss prevention or specialize in security management, let's say in the pharma industry or the airlines, you know, I would encourage them to come out, check out the site, come to a conference. And again, this is a networking and educational platform for the industry.
Yeah, we're not sharing any secrets here. And I think that's one of the big hurdles that we've had is getting these large trucking industry companies to partner with us, right? These big carriers. We're not going to share any trade secrets or theirs, and they don't have to share with us, but we just really want to make sure there's a connection because those entities are being used by everybody that's on the face of the earth.
I was about to say, you bring up a perfect example, especially as e-commerce continues to grow. It is amazing how companies, you know, anybody who orders online, which anybody who's listening, I'm sure, has ordered online, I think that it would blow their mind to understand that package leaving a distribution center for the manufacturer or retail that you might order from, that body is actually partnered with multiple other entities, and that package will touch 4, 5, 6, even sometimes 7 different companies as it's traveling from point A to the end consumer to their doorstep. And that's, you know, that's something that has evolved that we really haven't seen over the past, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. It literally is an evolution where everybody is partnering with everybody else to move that package.
Yeah.
All right. And I think, you know, as we talk about the conference that we're kicking off tomorrow, a little cocktail hour tonight, hopefully we'll get a nice little turnout. You know, we've kept these conferences very small as compared to some of the other ones you've mentioned, which are looking for volume, right? Where you're walking down aisles and aisles of solution providers and vendors, and you're just not getting the message or the time to spend with that. And while we've got our largest group of solution providers, which is 18 this year, we usually average 13, 14, we're still going to have that. I can see the vendors from wall to wall and not worry about getting down the aisles. And we keep it nice and, you know, close, and, you know, it's not intimate, but almost where I can get to have some time with every solution provider.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think, if you will, from the very beginning, one of the things we wanted to do with the providers is we one of the things we saw, and you talked about some mistakes we made. Here's one of the things we did, I think, better than anyone else has done. In fact, I don't know anyone who's doing it like us. And that is that we said from the beginning that we want our vendors, we want any of these providers, we want them to actually understand what it is we do, how we do it, and most importantly, where they fit within that puzzle. We don't want the vendors driving what we do. We don't want them to be true partners and understand every aspect of what we're doing so they can actually provide us the right solution. The only way they can do that is if we involve them intimately in what we're doing in the conference. And so that's the reason, one of the things we've done, unlike a lot of other conferences, we almost mandate that they attend the sessions and that they learn what it is that's being taught. And you know, as a result, I mean, you all know, the vendors every year have come back and said, that was great, I'm so glad I got to learn that this year.
Well, I think from the very first one, we've treated our solution providers as attendees.
Yeah,
absolutely. Engage them, you know, they're there to support, but to listen to the message. And I think you look at some of the sessions we've got going on, I mean, there's going to be some very interesting conversations after each one of these sessions, from cyber to fentanyl to labor shortages. So it's going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. Well, and I think with that, you know, the nice thing is we get to jump off this year with some of the other things we're going to do as we look at after conference and we look at some of the training opportunities online that we're going to have. And then, you know, the one we're going to do on the opioids in the workplace.
Right.
And the great thing there is the DEA is going to do it for us. You know, and you know, we made one phone call and they're like, absolutely, we're on board.
So Rod mentioned a good point. So we're going to be doing some webinars this year. So, you know, stay tuned to our website and check that out for more information. If you haven't signed up for our newsletter, go there at the bottom of the page on our website and do that. You know, we've got a program that's been in place, the Carrier Security Audit and Certification Program, which it's a great tool. And I know we're going to get some legs to it in the next year or two. But talk a little bit about that program.
Sure. You know, I think this actually came out of the second conference, and it was, if you look at a lot of solution providers domestically, these solution buyers are these regional couriers. So, you know, 10, 12 years ago, prior to e-commerce taking off, they were in the business of essentially moving payroll checks. Not parcels. So they found a niche as the e-commerce industry grew, and it was amazing that, and at least within my organization, we would go to these different transportation solution providers, and I would look around and I would see four or five other pallets of different retailers' product being delivered to their consumers, to their doorstep. I would look at some of my other competitors. And here we were doing an industry standard security audit that I know just from being in the industry, my partners at these other companies are having to come here to do the same thing. And I thought, instead of all, and essentially we're their customers, and most of these providers do not have a comprehensive security program or loss prevention program. So although we're the customers, we are essentially driving their security practices. And I thought, instead of doing this separately, what a great idea to leverage the organization to drive industry standard within the domestic courier network. And it was kind of a very symbiotic relationship, because when we first approached a couple carriers, they were obviously, well, what's in it for me? Well, first of all, you're not going to get beat up by all your customers. You just get beat up collectively, let's say. But if the carriers agreed to adhere to a basic set of industry security standards that I know all my other peers in the industry would agree to, this would allow them to actually be able to maybe put on their site that they're ISCPO certified. That it was a carrier certification that we developed based off of industry standards. And it was good for them because they're able to advertise to their customers or potential customers what they're doing above and beyond to protect product. And then we all know from an industry that instead of having to beat them up individually, now there's a set of standards if you're going to do business with this particular carrier. And it really got legs. But again, the whole transportation industry has been evolving dramatically over the past 5 right. to 10 years. So right. there's definitely room for this, and especially I look forward to potentially having us roll this out internationally.
Yeah. So for, you know, 3PLs that are listening to this podcast, I mean, if you're interested, you know, just search our website. We've got some great information and quick, easy, you know, understanding how it works, and we'll definitely respond back to you.
And if I can, real quick on that, I just don't think we can say enough about the efforts that Wes and Lauren put in to really helping us give this thing some real momentum and keeping that going, keeping the focus on it. Both of them have just done a wonderful job for us on this project.
Yeah, they've done a great job with the working group, their working teams that we have on the, you know, the monthly calls, and making sure we're, you know, updating and keeping the most current version available. So that's worked out really well. So as we kind of wrap up, you know, you guys, both of you have been previous chairmen of this organization, and I'm the chairman now as of January for a couple years. So what's some advice, or what would you do differently, or would you tell me to run? What would you do?
Well, we already both told you to run.
Yeah.
but here's the thing. If he runs, that means somebody else has to step into his shoes, and it's going to be more work for us.
Exactly. So now, stay.
No, I think it's a very unique opportunity. The way I approached it, you know, as my career has evolved and have had the opportunity now at two different companies to kind of lead the charge as a department head, I really put that hat on to sort of drive this almost as a business. Because when you think about what a CEO does for a particular company, especially from a ground floor company, you know, in any given day, they're the private, the sergeant, the lieutenant, and the general. They have to wear multitude of hats. And, you know, being a not-for-profit agency, I mean, none of us are getting paid to do this. We're doing it out of the good for the industry, because we feel that's where this needs to take it. So my recommendation is to drive the organization as you would your own business.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Byron, I've known you a long time. Not as long as I've known this guy, but I've known you a long time, and, you know, with your previous companies. And so I can be very confident in what I'm about to say. And that is, I would tell you to be you. to lead and manage this for who Byron is. I've watched you, particularly over the last many, many months, because of my situation, and I've seen how you've stepped up and some of the things you've done. I'm going to say be you. And if you continue to do that with Wes and some of the other guys who we know are also in leadership positions already, this thing's going to do great. It's going to do wonders. I expect, no pressure here, by the way, I really expect and would be shocked if a year, 2 years from now, we don't look back and say that this year, next year, we really were the pivotal points in the progression of the organization where it really took off and went to a whole new level. And I believe that because of you, and I believe because of what we've done, but I really believe in you and what you're doing. So with that, I say be you.
Well, thanks so much, and I appreciate it. I think you're right. I mean, especially about the exposure that we're getting. If you look at the most recent LP magazine that's out there, I mean, both Glenn and I are in it, and it's a lot of articles about supply chain. I've never seen it really take off like this, so I'm really excited about leveraging that. And, you know, there's more issues happening, cross-border issues, interstate issues, you know, country issues. The world is just not the block you live in now. It's the entire planet.
The key word that I keep hearing is parcels without borders. Because essentially, that's what it is. It's parcels without borders.
It really is, yeah.
I mean, somebody in Southeast Asia could order from an American company or vice versa. Somebody in Erlanger, Kentucky could be ordering from somebody in Shanghai. And 2-3 days later, that package shows up on somebody's doorstep. Nobody would have ever thought that 25 years ago when you and I were up in North Fort Worth with the Alliance Security Group, that this is what this thing was going to evolve
well,
to.
We've all sat here and watched over the years as this whole CTPAT thing started, right? And we all got our hands around it when it began and how it all started. And now look at what it is today. You know, we're doing things so much different today, and we're doing things so much quicker today than we ever imagined doing 15, 20 years ago. And as a result, we've had to change. You know, we've had to change our thinking, we've had to change our style, we've had to change how we do things, and guess what? We're going to have to continue to do that.
Yeah, agreed.
Ever changing, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think you guys both hit it right on the head with the e-commerce, you know, driving that message, understanding that our members and our attendees and how we can leverage that conversation and keep it going. I want to thank you both. I know we've had some difficulty getting together.
Busy world.
And some technical issues we've had in the past. But I'm excited about our cocktail event that starts here in a couple hours and get to meet some new folks and maybe make some new friends. If anyone in the podcast today has any questions about the organization, please feel free to email me. It's Byron, byron.smith@iscpo.org. If you want to just send some general information or general question, it's info@iscpo.org. Thanks again, folks, and continue to listen. And if you like this, make sure you share with your friends and peers in the industry. And have a great week. Thank you. Hey, just a quick final note. If you have any ideas for a speaker or a topic for our 2020 conference, just drop us a note. Let us know what your thoughts are. Let's see if we can get some things going for 2020's conference. Take care.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.